Sam Baker was born and raised in Itasca, Texas. In 1986, he was traveling by train to Machu Picchu in Peru when a bomb placed on a luggage rack above his head by the Shining Path guerrilla group exploded, killing 7 other passengers, including 3 people who had been sitting with him. Baker was left with numerous injuries, including brain damage, a cut artery, and blown-in eardrums. He now has a constant case of tendonitis, and the fingers of his left hand were left gnarled. However, over time, Sam Baker retaught himself to play his guitar left-handed. The details of this time and the effects of these injuries are covered extensively in Sam Baker's interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air, which aired in May of 2014. So I decided to begin our conversation talking about music and why he chose songwriting and not another, perhaps less physically demanding form, to express himself. Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for Sam Baker for sitting down to talk to us at KEOS before the concert. What I was wondering, I wasn't going to go over the story because that's covered very well in your interview with Terry Gross when you were on the train and the bomb went off, and how that led to your songwriting career, more or less. Mm-hmm. But what I was wondering is, when you started to write and to express, why songs? Why not just poetry or short stories? How did music come into that? Because you said prior you may have played around with a guitar, but you weren't had no ambitions to be a musician.
Well, I played a lot before, but it was covers or things that I did repetitively, and I'm not sure it had any. It wasn't expressive. I think what happened was Anne, I tried to describe what what a bomb's like, to myself. I wasn't trying to tell anybody else. I was trying to tell me what it's like to be in a normal place, like you and I are. Krista, we're in a normal place. It's beautiful right here. The sun's coming in. It's a beautiful day. We think the world is fine. This next second, these windows blow through and everybody is chopped up. It goes from the real to the surreal so fast. In fact, not to go off topic, but if you think of that jet that just went down, right, those people were in a real place that turned surreal just in a few minutes, where the co-pilot locked himself in and sent it into the ground. That goes into a surreal place so fast. Mm-hmm. They'll never have a chance to try to sort out what those 8 minutes were like. See, I can say, this is what happened, this is what I felt, this is what I saw. And so I started writing that as a narrative. And the words didn't seem to have the emotional impact of what I knew or what I saw. And so what happened was, music would come to me. And the music combined with the words, it felt more real, like it had more of the emotional connection to the event than just words do. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a natural evolution. And then, if I look at that at a little different way or a different level, when I was a kid, when we grew up, I spent so much time in church and stuff that I think the hymns and other music became an ingrained emotional channel. So I think in those times of really unsettled emotional stuff, I think I probably reverted back to a childhood emotional channel that was understandable, which was old songs and hymns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my stuff, has pieces like Swing Low and Come Thou Fount and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, now that you are writing, are you becoming interested in more obscure forms of music? Are you kind of seeking out?
Are you talking about to write and create, or to just listen to?
I suppose a little both. Both would inform the other, wouldn't they?
Well, right. Everything does. I think you're right. I don't think it's just music. I think we've just gone through a beautiful gallery here. I think that is a remarkable. I'm so pulled in by the energy of almost all creation, but I'm also pulled in by the energy of a day like today, where the weather is so beautiful. And we walk through downtown here in Bryan, and Itasca, where I grew up, it was of the same age, I would think, 1880, 1890. And, your downtown is so beautiful, and poor Itasca, I think, since the Second World War, has really... it's one of those small towns that we never could figure out a reason to stay alive or stay vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all that stuff. I mean, I think art does. I think music does. Everything is I think, fuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about performing? Mm-hmm. Because when you started writing songs, and at the time that you would start performing, you've talked about, too, the damages that were done from the bomb, so some of your sensory perceptions are limited and stuff. So what was that like for you to get up in front of an audience the
terrible.
First few times?
Oh, it was awful. And it was awful. I had stage fright. Horrible. I couldn't hear that well, and I hadn't learned to get used to... I couldn't play that well. I played... Before the blast, I played right-handed guitar, and then after the blast, there was shrapnel that took off the top of my hand, so my fretting hand, my left hand, so, it didn't work. So I had to go back and learn to play a different way, and it was, I didn't really hit many tones musically, vocally, and I really stumbled on the guitar, so it was awful. The sound was awful.
What compelled you?
I had to. I didn't have a choice. Uh-huh. What compelled me? I have, I still don't know. I mean, you're sitting in a place in early morning and everything's beautiful, much like today, a beautiful day. And then about 1/1000th of a second later, the people I'm sitting with are dead and dying. There's some compulsion that comes out of living through that compels, I think, for lack of a better word, a witness.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a somewhat of a process when you write? I mean, does it begin with the words, with the story, with the
music? It begins with an emotional wave. It never starts with the words. It never starts with a story. It starts with some emotional something. Mm-hmm. I think there are writers that can wake up and write beautiful stuff about what they see out of the window. I don't write like that. I write, I didn't really write until... I was clubbed over the head with the dead and the dying and the shrapnel and the blown in windows and the surgeries and the gore and the blood and the aftermath of horror, which has its own kind of horror. And I think it was the emotional waves. Like aftershocks from an earthquake. I think that's what I wrote, and that's what I continue to write. I see something. I have to be emotionally brought into a situation somehow, and I don't know what whatever the wave is that opens the door, opens the channel. I have no idea what it is, but whatever it is, it's always an emotional connection.
Have you ever written something thinking it was going to be coming from a certain perspective, and then the audience perceived it completely differently?
I've never had anything completely differently, but in saying that, you know, it's like a rodeo. Once you turn a bull into the ring, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, yeah, with your songs, you just release them into the world?
I have to be comfortable with them, and then really you stand in the arena and you tell somebody to open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, once the bull's out of the chute, it's really not any of mine anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also wanted to ask you about your creative collaboration with Carrie. You brought uh-huh. along Carrie Elkin and Chip Dolan.
And Chip Dolan.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit, I mean, how did you and Carrie discover each other, and why do you think that you'll complement each other's work? You both seem to enhance what the other one does. Because, in fact, her CD, and we do have it at the radio station, was recorded in your
in
living
my house,
room.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are people that I think belong in my life and carry some people. We met at a friend's house, and they put us together for a show, Carrie and I, and we went and played, and it was fun and funny, and we became very close friends. Mm-hmm. She's one of the joys in my life. She got married in October 18th, and I was the officiant at their wedding, Danny Schmidt, who's also a wonderful writer.
And I was told to ask about the honeymoon, but I was kidding.
Well, that's a Carrie issue. We poor Carrie and Danny, they've been married like 5 days, and Carrie and me and Chip left for Europe and went on tour. So I will never live that down. But she became a very dear friend, and you know, she's a wonderful teacher. Mm-hmm. She is her vision of the world is, I trust that, I believe in that, and she's a wonderful writer and a wonderful artist. And we get that so rarely in life, mm-hmm. to have people like that with us and to be involved with my life. It's pretty rare to get that, and it's I cherish it.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally, I just wanted to ask you, since this is a fundraiser for radio station, community radio station, that if I know on the Terry Gross interview you mentioned that you have tinnitus,
right?
And so things come from the inside out, not so much outside in. But perhaps when you were growing up, if you have any memories of radio, or if radio was ever a companion to you.
Yeah, when I was a real young, we used to get a skip out of Chicago, I think WLS, on the AM radio. And it would come in and go out and come in and sometimes, like in the middle of the night, I'd turn that AM station on, and it was like it was coming in from another planet. Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
These voices come in over those tiny little AM speakers and something.
Do you ever hear yourself now on the radio? Or
rarely. I don't really. For me to really listen to something, I have to hyper focus.
Right.
I have to really watch things and listen to things. And I don't do it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got to be careful about that, because, you know, I think what all deaf people, you know, here I say all, many deaf people, what I have to remember about many deaf people is it is a slow march toward isolation, because if it's hard to hear somebody, that creates a barrier. And there are people, because they're deaf, they drift away from people they love.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to the show.